This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ.
When a person does something unusual, people want to see them. Whether it's some ball player that's done something outstanding on the field, whether it's some politician that's very popular. I remember many years ago when the Kennedys went to France. People lined the streets to see them. You see, when a person does something unusual, people say, I want to go see them. That was true of Jesus. Today we want to talk about we would see Jesus. Why do people want to see Jesus? This is Billy Lambert, and I'm the speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. And we are delighted to have you with us today. And we want you to know that we have a free Bible correspondence course that we offer. We want you to have the course. And in order that you might know more about the course and how you can receive it, let's pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
In the 12th chapter of John's Gospel, there was some inquiring Greeks who came, and they, in John chapter 12 and verse 21, made this statement, Sir, we would see Jesus. I remember preaching and going to preach at a church one time, and they had that sign on the pulpit, Sir, we would see Jesus. And as we mentioned earlier, when people do something unusual, people want to see them. When John the Baptist was out in the wilderness of Judea preaching, the people flocked out to see John. And that was true of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these people said, we want to see Jesus too. Let me ask you a question. Why do you suppose anyone should want to see Jesus? One of the reasons that I would suggest that people should want to see Jesus is because of who Jesus is. Jesus Christ is the greatest person in all of history. He is the Son of the living God. When in Matthew, the 16th chapter, and in verse 16, when Jesus came into the region around Caesarea Philippi, he asked that question, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter's response was, in verse 16, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the greatest reason in all of the world a person should want to see Jesus, a Son of God. Thomas exclaimed, My Lord and my God. You know, we need to see Jesus today, and we need to see Jesus as being the Son of God. The most familiar passage of the New Testament likely is John 3:16, which extols the sonship of Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He is a Son of God, the Son of the living God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, he's declared to be the Son of God. How? It was by Jesus' resurrection from the dead that God declared his divine sonship. We should want to see Jesus Christ not only because of who he is, but because of his greatness. There have been a lot of great people who lived on the face of this earth. A lot of people that have been called great. There's Alexander the Great and many others. But Jesus Christ is the greatest of the greats. His greatness is seen in several things that were true of his life. Well, one of the things that extols his greatness is his pre-earthly existence. Jesus existed before he came to earth. He was with the Father in heaven. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul wrote, "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Jesus Christ was with God in the very beginning. He says, "Who was with God, and he made himself in the form of man." He came down from heaven in a fleshly body. 1 Timothy chapter 3:16 says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." His greatness is seen not only in his pre-earthly existence, but is in his incarnate existence. That is, he was God come down in human form. Jesus even said, "If you've seen me, you know, you've seen the Father." You've seen the Father. We should want to see Jesus not only because of his greatness, but we should want to see him because of what Jesus Christ is now doing. Well, what is he doing now? Well, one of the things that he does for those who are his people is he intercedes on their behalf before the throne of God. Hebrews 7:25 says that he ever lives to make intercession for us. He intercedes for us before the throne of God. And another thing that Jesus is still doing, he still saves people. And when he saves people, according to Acts the 2nd chapter, verse 47, he adds them to the body of Christ, to the church, to the kingdom of God. That we ought to want to see Jesus Christ. We need to be like those inquiring Greeks. Unfortunately, some are not desirous of seeing Jesus, but they need to want to see Jesus Christ. Now, how do we see Jesus? First of all, I'd suggest we see Jesus in the Bible. So someone has said that the Bible is actually his story, the history of the Lord Jesus Christ. From one end of it to the other, from the book of Genesis all the way through down to the book of Revelation and the very last chapter and the very last verse, the story is about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was lifted up in prophecy. Let me illustrate that. In Acts the 8th chapter, Philip was an evangelist and he was called for a great mission, and that mission was to teach a man who had been to Jerusalem to worship God, and he was on his way back home, and Philip found him on the road that leads down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert, and he saw that the man was reading from the Scriptures, and he asked the man this question: "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "Well, how can I except some man should guide me?" So he got up in the chariot with the man, and the Bible says in Acts chapter 8 that he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Well, now what scripture was he preaching? The man was reading from the 50th, what now has been divided into books, into chapters and verses. He was reading the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And in that chapter, he learned about Jesus. And that was a prophecy made some 750 years before Jesus Christ would ever come into this world. In that chapter, we learned that he was wounded for our transgressions, and it was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. This man had read those passages. And so Philip got up in the chariot with the man, and he began at the same place the man was reading, which is now called the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Men divided the Bible into chapters and verses later, many years later, after it was revealed. But he preached Jesus. He was preaching the fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus Christ fulfilled prophecy. In Luke, the 24th chapter and verse 47, that Jesus said the things that had been written about him in the law and the Psalms and the prophets must be fulfilled. And they were fulfilled. You see, we see Jesus in the Bible. When I study the Bible, it tells me a sweet story about the Lord Jesus Christ. Another way that we see Jesus is in prayer. Oh, we don't see him physically. No man on this earth has seen Jesus physically. But with the eye of faith, we see him. We never did see Jesus walk those Galilean hills. We never did see him teaching that sermon on the Mount. But we see him with the eye of faith today. And when we pray to our Father in heaven, we pray in the name of or by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we pray, we can have the assurance that our prayers are being heard. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, Peter said in 1 Peter 3:12. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. God hears us when we pray. Jesus hears us when we pray. That's one of the ways that we see Jesus. Another way that we see Jesus is in the lives of Christians. Oh, we ought to live like Jesus. Philippians 2:5 says, have this mind in you which was also in Christ Jesus. We ought to have the mind of Christ, the spirit of Christ, the attitude of Christ. We ought to be models of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died, he left us an example that we should follow in his steps, according to 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. And when we follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will become like him. We need to follow Jesus. Whom are you following today? Are you following Christ? Are you following some important person that you know? Are you following yourself? We need to look to Jesus. We need to see him today in the lives of Christians. I realize that as a Christian, I need to live my life so that people ought to be able to see Christ living in me. In Acts 4:13, the Bible says there that they took knowledge of them, that is some of the disciples of Jesus, that they had been with Jesus. When people observe you, can they tell you've been with Jesus? Do they know that? In Romans 8 and verse 9, we're told that we are to be conformed to the image of his Son. We see Jesus in the lives of those who are Christians. Sometimes Christians don't live in keeping with what they learn on Sunday. They may hear a good lesson on Sunday on how to live the Christian life, and they may forget it on Monday when they go to work. People are not going to know that you're following Jesus. We need to line our living up with our learning. Follow Jesus. And so that's another way that we see Jesus. But now, here's the most important question I want to ask. what view should I have of him? I realize that I cannot see Jesus with the human eye. That's impossible today. Someday we will see him face to face. According to Philippians 3, 20, 21, 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3, there is a time coming that we will see him, but not now. So what view should I have of him? Well, first of all, I should see Jesus Christ as Savior, as the Savior. In 1 John 4, 14, we're told that God sent him, why? To be the Savior of the world. And he came to save the world from sin. In Luke 19 and 10, we're told that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And today, the world largely is lost without Christ and lost without God. Some are saying that people in our time have turned their backs upon God. I want to think the best about people, but I believe that is a true statement, that people are turning their backs upon God in great numbers today, turning their backs upon Jesus today. If some had their way, they would do away with all things that relate to Jesus, that relate to the Bible, that relate to the church. But we need to see Jesus as Savior. Many people have never stopped and thought about their eternity and think about Jesus Christ as being Savior. Someone says, well, you have your Savior, I have my Savior. That's pluralism, and we live in a pluralistic society, I know that. But there's only one Savior, friend, and that's Jesus. In Acts chapter 4 and 12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. But there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. What does that really mean? That really means that Jesus Christ is the only Savior we have. No person who has ever lived that may have already died is our Savior. Muhammad is not our Savior. John the Baptist is not our Savior. Some religious teacher is not our Savior. There's only one Savior, and that one Savior is Jesus Christ. In Matthew 1, 21, his parents were told, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He came to save, to seek, and to save. And he came to save sinners of all sorts and all kinds. Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world. Why did he come into the world? To save sinners, of whom I am chief. I was looking at the television the other day. It was a documentary, actually, about UFOs. And people get all excited about UFOs, whether or not we've had people to come to this earth. Oh, indeed we have. This earth has been visited from outer space already. Jesus Christ came down from heaven to earth. And he came down here to save people that are sinners. And all of us are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the view that we ought to have of Jesus, that he is your Savior. He wants to save you, and he loves you. He loves you, and he wants to save you. You may think, well, Brother Lambert, you just don't understand. There's nobody that cares anything about me. Jesus loves you. One great man said that the most solemn thought that he ever had and the greatest thought that he ever had was this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Not only should we see Jesus as our Savior, We should see Jesus as our Lord. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is Lord. He is Lord over all. Acts 10:36 tells us. A number of years ago, when I was living in Mobile, Alabama, I was driving around the Interstate 65 that goes around the town, and someone had erected a billboard. And these were the words on that billboard: Jesus is Lord of Mobile. Well, I understand the reason they did that, possibly because they're trying to impress that on people who live in Mobile, Alabama, that Jesus is Lord. But really what they should have put on that billboard, that Jesus is Lord of the universe. He's Lord over all. He's Lord over heaven and earth. Jesus Christ is Lord. And Jesus said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Obedience to Jesus and accepting the lordship of Jesus Christ are linked together. You may say, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, but is he truly the Lord of your life? You know, there are many people that say, I believe Jesus is a Savior, but they've never accepted him as Lord. Because when you accept Jesus as Lord, Jesus Christ is the one that you follow and who controls your life. I don't mean by that you are a puppet and that you lose your ability to make choices and decisions in life. No, I don't mean that at all. But the choices and the decisions that you make in life are decisions that are made based upon what Jesus would have you to do. And the way that you learn what Jesus would have you to do is by studying the Bible. And when we study the Bible, we learn what I, as a disciple of Christ, that I, as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a Son of God, as the Savior of the world, and as my Lord, I'll do what He tells me to do. And that's what Jesus meant in Matthew 7:21. You may say, Lord, Lord, but if we want to go to heaven, we have to do the will of the Father which is in heaven. I need to see Him as my Lord. Is He in control of your life? I've been to some restaurants that I didn't think were, top quality. When I saw their rating from the health department, I determined, I probably will never go in there again because their rating was so low. But then I learned that they're open again and things maybe be different there. So I said, I'll give them a second chance. I'll go in. And when I go in, I notice that things are different. That their rating is at the top of the list. I mean, they almost have 100 rating. And the building and the restaurant is so clean and neat and the service is so great. And then I find out the reason for the change, and it's because they are under new management. And when our lives are under new management by the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a change made. And we make that change by giving our lives to Jesus, by believing on Him, by repenting of our sins, according to Luke 13:3, by being willing to acknowledge or confess Him as being the Son of God, according to Matthew 10:32-33, and being immersed into Him, that is, in water, that we might be born again, according to John 3:5, Acts 2:38, and many other passages. And then when I begin to follow Jesus Christ, there's going to be a change made. I'll be under new management. We ought to see Jesus as our Lord. If you are not His today, I encourage you to become a child of God. Jesus said, he that believes, is baptized, shall be saved. Have you done that? That's not difficult, is it? You believe, and as a believer, and as a confessing believer, as a penitent confessing believer, you're baptized into Christ, then you're going to be saved. We'd like to help you with that. If you desire to become a child of God, contact us and let us know that you'd like to be baptized. We'll get you in contact with a servant of God who will assist you. But we need to see Jesus not only as our Lord. We need to see Him as our final judge. He's our Savior now. He wants to save you now. Well, one day He's going to be your judge. In Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, the Bible says, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He's appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. He wants to save you now. He'll be your judge then. And there will be no salvation. There will be no invitations at the judgment. Now the Lord says, the Spirit and the bride say, come, whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. But that will not be said at the judgment. It's said today. I want to thank you for watching Getting to Know Your Bible Today. It's been a joy to be with you today. And I want to encourage you to pick up the telephone now, call for the free Bible correspondence course, or you can take it online. And also right now, we want you to know that we want you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. I'm giving you a personal invitation. And you will find people that will encourage you and help you. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my fervent prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.